And people think that because folks are on unemployment making more than what they made in their minimum wage, that for that reason, it's the government's fault that people aren't going back to work. That is not the case. The real truth is that people don't want to go to crappy jobs anymore. People want good jobs. And we need institutions that are preparing folks in a short, accelerated, and efficient manner for these good jobs. And where do these good jobs exist? They exist in tech.
Welcome to Learning Life.
And the thing that I've realized from the CEO to the NFL football player to the janitor, we're our toughest critics and we're hardest on ourselves.
But you have to be willing to say and point out the things that need to be said.
The only way to grab somebody's attention is with a story.
Welcome to Learning Life with John Toda and another episode in our Vermont Local series. My guest today is Benny Boaz. Benny is the co-founder and CEO of Burlington Code Academy and founder and CEO of Upright Education, where he and his team are partnering with educational institutions to transform the way we're reskilling and upskilling our workforces into the future. I love what Benny's businesses are doing, and it's obviously a big passion point for me, so I'm excited to get into it with him today. Benny Boaz, welcome to Learning Life.
Hey, John. Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much and great introduction. I actually think that you sum up my companies better than I do.
As I said, I love what you're doing from all of our conversations. I'm really passionate about reskilling and upskilling, particularly people in our workforce to future-proof them going forward. So all the things you're doing are so cool, and you're doing it right here in Burlington, Vermont, which we love. So tell us a little bit about how you came to Vermont. I know you spent a long time in Vermont as a student. How'd you come to Vermont originally?
Yeah. Okay. So I was born in the West Coast in California. Actually, my brother and I were the first people born in our family in America. My mother's from Europe. My father's from Europe. Both had to escape some form of persecution or in my mom's case, the Soviet Union to come over here. And we stayed in California for maybe 3-4 years when I was born, but my parents wanted to raise us somewhere a little bit more suburban or a little bit less urban. So we ended up moving to Colorado, where we lived right outside of Denver for a couple years. And then we moved again to Maine, to Bath, Maine. And my parents actually opened a bed and breakfast there. So I ended up living for almost all of elementary school and some of middle school in a bed and breakfast by a river in Maine. And it was definitely a wild experience. Then about 11, 12, my folks decided that they'd had enough of running an inn, which is, for all intents and purposes, a very taxing and extremely grueling business, and ended up thinking about what their next move was and brought us over to Vermont. Funny, when we moved to Vermont and Maine, my parents are super European. We grew up eating cream cheese on regular bread with cucumbers and capers on it and caviar. When we ended up going from Colorado to Maine and Maine to Vermont, my parents had never actually spent time in either of those places. Like, they just looked at a map and thought, all right, I heard that these are the most beautiful parts of America. So I'll just bring my kids here. Yeah, so we ended up moving to these very random places. Like I said, like nobody in my family had ever spent any time in Vermont. And so we ended up in Proctor, Vermont, which is a really small town. I think the whole town has 2,000 people in it, right outside of Rutland, which is close to Killington. And that's where I grew up from really all the rest of my childhood. So all throughout my middle school and high school.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny, I interviewed a ton of people who have stumbled into Vermont much the way your parents did, just because it sounded like a beautiful place to live and raise a family. And so you're a great homegrown Vermont success story and really kind of following on as an entrepreneur. I guess your parents really were entrepreneurs and helped you get into this world, this business of working for your own and running your own business. Was that a big influence in you, like really seeing them run their own businesses for all those years and you wanted to do the same for yourself?
Oh, definitely. There's really two big influences, right? Of course, I think that I wouldn't be alone to say that my parents had a humongous influence on where I am today. But the other big influence, other than my parents being entrepreneurs, and I'll get into that in just 1 second, is actually being a first-generation American. There's some statistics out there that really point to entrepreneurs and in immigrant backgrounds or first-generation backgrounds going hand in hand. And the reason why is because when your family comes to America or tries to make a life here, or when you're making a life here for the first time in your family's history or in generational history, you think a lot about what opportunity means and where you can achieve that. We grew up always under the understanding and that in America, entrepreneurship or becoming like a doctor or a lawyer is really the way that you, that way that you make generational change and the way that you create a life for yourself that you can't create in other countries. That was a big part of what I think formed my entrepreneur journey. But also, of course, my parents being entrepreneurs as well. I think that even bigger than them being entrepreneurs, I think that them being unsuccessful entrepreneurs is like even more, is even more compelling. And I don't want to say that they weren't successful. Actually, they ran a very successful bed and breakfast in Maine, but it's really hard to manage these businesses. And when we left California, my father also started a school there that became unmanageable for him. They were really good at looking at it like a concept and like creating something really amazing out of it, but it was really hard for them to really see it through for the long haul. But that being said, they definitely took their own initiative in making whatever path they wanted for themselves. And I saw that as an option for me. I didn't see myself as going in 9 to 5 for someone else, which, you know, happy to do now and after learning a lot about what that means. But growing up, I just didn't see it because I didn't see my parents do it. Like I never saw them going into work. I never saw my mom and dad going, you know, when in their with their briefcase or their suit or their papers and documents headed to an office building. That was just not the way we grew up. And I just never saw them do that. So that didn't even seem like a lifestyle that was realistic for me.
Yeah. And I know I just had a conversation with someone who runs a hospitality business here in Vermont. And she said the same thing. Everyone thinks this romantic image of running a bed and breakfast, but she said it's literally one of the toughest businesses to operate successfully.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's
so difficult. We'd go on vacations and they'd have to wake up at 7 a.m. and drive back to serve the breakfast because it's expensive to hire staff to run everything. Like you literally have to make a breakfast. That's a bed and breakfast for maybe the folks who out there don't know that, but Airbnb is like the second form, it's like the digital form of a bed and breakfast, but it's not a bed and breakfast. Real bed and breakfasts have breakfast and that breakfast has to be made by someone.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think it's interesting too that you talked about this opportunity and creating opportunity for yourself. And as a first generation American, like really seeing that opportunity, the value of it and what you can make of yourself. And you went into the education space. Do you feel that part of the reason why you started Burlington Coat Academy and ultimately Upright Education is to give that opportunity to other people to help them get the education and to skill up so that they could have that like American dream opportunity?
Yeah, it's a little bit of that and a little bit of the frustrations that I'd felt when going through the education system as a kid. I'd always been a good student and excelled in school. In an elementary school, there was a big push from my teachers to push me up grades. And I was really studious and cared a lot about reading and writing. But by the time I got into middle school, I switched schools actually from Maine to Vermont, like halfway through my year. And I think like sixth grade. And like when you're in sixth grade in Maine, or I guess in Bath, Maine, where I lived, you were a middle schooler. But in Vermont, when we got here, sixth grade was elementary school. So I felt like I'd been demoted. I was like, oh, I just got in middle school. I was like super pumped. I had my, you know, I had my course schedule, could walk to my classes. And now all of a sudden I'm being like shepherded to all my little classes with my teacher. And it felt very jarring and very disheartening. And I rebelled a lot, actually. But from that point forward, and not to mention that just the education in Proctor was abysmal compared to what I was receiving before. Like all the education in any of my institutions that I'd gone to before ending up in Proctor, Vermont was okay. It wasn't amazing, but it was all right. And in Proctor, it was really incredibly bad. I mean, the reading and writing, the math, the arithmetic, everything that we were doing at that age, like I was so far advanced from that by the time I'd gotten to the school. Like we were reading at like a fourth grade level. The books that we would be reading in class were so silly. I'd read them like 4 times by then. And so I was just so frustrated with the system. I completely rebelled. Like I got in a lot of trouble. I kept my grades up because that was what was important to my family. But other than that, like I was completely crazy. I'd skateboard all day and run around and I wouldn't listen to any of the rules that the teachers gave me. I'd started to just like completely withdraw from school entirely. And then by the time I got into high school, it gotten even worse. Like I had felt, even though once again, my grades were much better than probably the average high school nuisance, I was just completely done with the idea of having to go to a school that was not meeting me in the middle or meeting my needs. I transferred out to private school. Private school, it was the same thing. They weren't, it felt like, once again, very small, very isolated, very insular, and very, in a lot of ways, almost archaic. Like, there wasn't even a place to get lunch in that next private school. So once again, continued down my rebellious streak, and then finally ended up in a third high school where actually things were a lot better. And I'd seen the light at the end of the tunnel. College was coming up in a few years, and I just was so excited to just get away from the school system. So when I created Burlington Code Academy, I think I'd always by that point wanted to get into education. Like by the time I'd created Burlington Code Academy, I'd actually been working for a few years as a professional user experience designer. And I just have always in the back of my mind knew that there was something better out there for people to who wanted to learn new skills or advance in their career, or advance in their education, and that the system that we're currently working in just doesn't work for us. So yeah, it's a little bit of the background that I'd had with my parents as well as my family, but mostly actually I think it was due to my frustrations with having attended school in Vermont and what that meant and how that affected my life.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that what you're saying, so many people also say that they feel like a lot of what they get in the educational system today doesn't equip them for the jobs that they're going to need to take in the real world when they get out of school. And so you started as a UX designer for a few years, then you started Burlington Code Academy. For all of our listeners, some who are outside of the Vermont area who may not know Burlington Code Academy, just tell us quickly, what is Burlington Code Academy? What's the business all about? And what's your goal, your mission there?
Yeah, great. I'll actually back that up a little bit. I ended up going to Bennington College after high school. Bennington is a very small liberal arts school in the Northeast in Vermont. And Bennington is really interesting because it's not like your typical school, right? Like you don't really have to take major or pick a major or take grades. You can take a pass fail. It was very loosely structured in terms of the way that the academics were set forth in your 4 years there, and which I really liked. That worked really well for me. And so it turned out to be like the perfect school for me. I got an incredible education and I really couldn't have been happier. But by the time I'd graduated, I'd spent the last 4 years studying like Foucault and Derrida and reading articles on democratic reconciliation and all these things that were really heady and really amazing to learn, but wasn't necessarily translating to job skills. So I got out of school and thought, all right, like I'm ready for a job. I just got my bachelor's degree. Because that's another thing you learn in immigrant families. Like you learn that you go to school and you go to college and you're going to get a great job. But you don't learn what that means. You don't learn that you have to attend a certain program that gets you into or prepares you for a position with certain skills that you get from that program. Like you just learn, go to college, get jobs. Like it's pretty basic. And also both of my parents didn't really attend college in the United States. So it was very new to the system. That being said, I went to college, got a great education, so thankful for everything I learned. But it did not prepare me for the job market. I literally could not find a job to save my life when I graduated college. I moved to New York and was like, all right, like I'm in New York City, the place of opportunity. Like this is the place to get a job. And I applied to 100 places. And I finally got a job as a recruiter of all things and ended up in this like real, it was like a chop shop recruiting agency in Midtown. It was just terrible. It was just such a silly organization in every way and ended up quitting that in 2 weeks. And then got a job, you know, very luckily as a receptionist at a big advertising agency called McCann. And while working as a receptionist, which was an amazing job, actually an amazing institution in every regard. And after landing that job as a receptionist, I wanted to move into another department, into a creative department. And I learned a lot about the UX team from a gentleman who was actually running the UX department at McCann. And I asked that gentleman if I could shadow his organization and his team. And McCann helped set me up with an apprenticeship. And from there, a few months, maybe a half a year later, I started working as a UX designer. So all of a sudden, 3 years into my UX career, I'm working and have a great salary and in a great position and doing everything that I wanted to do creatively and felt very fulfilled. I thought to myself, like, how did I get here? I didn't study this in school. I didn't go back to college to learn these skills. I literally just took an apprenticeship that I made up. This guy who was kind enough to let me take his time and learn from him. And then right around that time, I was like, wait a second, there needs to be more programs that just teach people very basic skills that jobs need in really high demand subject areas, because UX and coding and UI design and software development were such explosive fields then and still are now, that I just thought there's got to be some programs that teach these skills quickly to people like me. And around that time, there were a number of organizations starting to come to the market, like a number of companies that were already addressing this need, like General Assembly was getting established. This was in 2015, 2016. General Assembly was getting established. Flatiron School, I think, had just started. And I thought, all right, like I had a terrible experience without my school in Vermont. Now I have this amazing opportunity in New York because of an apprenticeship. I want to go back to Vermont and start a program that helps people get a second chance at a career. Because you got to imagine, when you people attend these types of programs, they're not trying to go for undergraduate. They're not trying to go back to a degree, because most likely they're an adult who's already working just like me. And they're not trying to go get their master's because they don't have the time or the money to do that. They just want the skills that gets them a job, and jobs that have high growth and high demand opportunities. In 2017, I moved back home with my parents in Proctor, Vermont, which was really tough because I'm like 25, 26, and I just want to still, I'm a bachelor. I want to meet people and have fun and whatever. But like, I just decided very abruptly that this was what I needed to do. So I moved back home with my folks in Vermont, took my savings, lived off of it for a year, called my best friend from high school and said, listen, man, I know you just went through an entrepreneurship program at Ithaca and you worked out of an entrepreneurship accelerator at Cornell. Let's start a boot camp together. So my best friend and next door neighbor, Alex Horner, also moved home and co-founded Burlington Code Academy with me. And what Burlington Code Academy does is we provide students or adults who want to learn new skills and get a job in high demand areas like coding or UX design. We help them learn the skills to get that job in 12 weeks. So you come to us with very little experience. Maybe you've never done it before. Maybe you've done some coding or some UX design before, but not enough to be employable. And we will teach you everything you need to know to get employed in 12 weeks. And it worked. We sold 20 seats in the first year, which meant $200,000 in revenue for us. So we used that money to build actually our program. We built the program. And then that first cohort, I think we placed like 90 to 95% of our students. So cohort meaning class. So in that first class, we placed almost all of those 20 students who came through that program within 90 days of graduating our program. And since then, we've graduated a few hundred folks. We've maintained a 90% placement rate. And those folks are now earning over double the Vermont average salary. And many of them didn't even come from backgrounds that include bachelor's degrees. Like, we've had folks who've only graduated from high school, to folks who've received double master's degrees, to folks who've been working as lawyers, and folks who've come out of the assembly line or working at Walgreens. All of them wanted to learn how to code, and they didn't want to go back to college to do it. So they went to Burlington Code Academy. They learned it in 12 weeks, and then they became an employable programmer, making a generational change in the salary that they are now bringing home.
Yeah, I think it's such a fascinating story. I love the background of why you got involved with it and why it means so much to you. And it's so great to see the impact that you're having on so many people, and particularly doing it here in Vermont when you could have chosen to do it anywhere. So my question for you is, it sounds like a big piece of this is, obviously, people do a boot camp for 12 weeks to learn a new skill set like this. They really want to feel like they're going to get a job afterwards. And it sounds like placing them in a position, helping them get a job based on that skill set, is something that you're very proud of and something that you guys really take an interest in helping them do. How important is that to your model going forward now?
Yeah, it is the model, right? Like, we don't have a business unless our business is students getting jobs. Take a lot of pride and initiative to make that happen. I will personally extend my network to any graduate of our programs, and it works. We've partnered with almost every big technology company in Vermont, from Dealer.com to Data Innovations and New Breed. And that's it. It's 100% go. If you come through a program, I will make it my job to get you a job, and everybody else in that institution will as well. In fact, when you learn with us, we're not just teaching you coding or programming, we're teaching you how to become a software developer, which is different, right? Because what we're saying is, like, all right, there's a lot of computer science you can learn, and you will learn that on your own. But what we're going to teach you is the skills that employers need. So right when you graduate, you're building things and you're able to actually deploy applications and put things onto the web or into your browser that function like an application, similar to how if you use like Facebook or YouTube, like video streaming applications, geolocation applications, et cetera. Like, we're teaching you how to build software that makes businesses work. The other piece of that is that while you're in our programs, it's all hands-on learning. It's all real experience. So like, you're not just sitting there regurgitating information through tests. We don't really do tests. What we do is we do projects. So it's all project learning throughout the entire course, which means that you're going to be graded on how well you can make something come to life, how you can perform in building software that functions, and how clean that code or your documentation looks. We work with real organizations that sponsor these projects that students work on. Like, for instance, in our capstone project, which is the final project that we did in a few cohorts with Burlington Code Academies, one of the cohorts worked with the UVM Medical Network to create a flexible transportation application called Nimble that delivered dialysis patients to their appointment. So think about it like an Uber, but for patients. Like, you need to get picked up and brought to your appointment because maybe you're either handicapped or don't have means otherwise. We built an application that allows drivers to pick those folks up and bring them to the UVM hospital, which is really cool. We've created intake applications for HopeWorks to help battered and abuse victims. And we've also worked with YNAB, You Need a Budget, which is an affiliate of Google, to help build a budgeting application for a better financial future. So there's so much that we've done and so much that our students have done that it's really imperative to not only getting a job, but actually learning how to work on a team and build projects that are significant.
Yeah, so many people do boot camps and online education and courses of all sorts, but there's never that component to really prove that they've got on-the-job proficiency, that they actually know they can put that skill set to practice in the workplace and really get value and add value to a company. So I love the way you guys look at it. I think it's so cool. And from your background, obviously, I think this the next level for this is working with the higher education institutions and helping them to implement programs like this, because they don't have some of the things that you've been successfully putting in place with Burlington Code Academy. And I think that's the genesis of Upright Education. Tell us a little bit about what the vision is for that and what Upright's all about.
Totally. Yeah, Upright is like exactly where I want to be in my life and my career. It's exactly the project I want to be working on. This company has become something that I am so proud of. And our partners that we work with, I'm also so proud of them. So Upright Education was born out of this really simple idea, right? This isn't rocket science. Every college should be offering adults programs that get them jobs. Crazy. What I mean is that we have an incredible university system. I'm talking about over 4,000 schools nationally. The average American lives within 45 minutes of these schools. And yet these schools don't offer boot camp programs, short form programs that help reposition these adults for the new job market. Now, schools generally do a great job at preparing folks for degree programs. And some schools have continuing education programs that can either give credit or certification or credentials for either work or for a degree. But what they don't have is programs that rapidly transform your career when you need a second chance at transitioning your career. What that means is that if you're an adult and you graduated from, let's say, Bennington College, and you went to the job market, wanted to become a writer, worked in a few publishing houses, maybe worked doing a little bit of a few op-ed pieces here and there for some journals or some papers, but it wasn't really paying the bills. And so you said, all right, now I want to find a job that's going to help me build a really great salary for myself. You should be able to go back to Bennington College to go through a program that will get you a job that will earn that salary. And the reason why it's so important that institutions offer these programs, specifically boot camps and coding boot camps and UX boot camps and really accelerated courses that are for high demand, high growth fields, is because these colleges exist in such close proximity to the average American. Like I said, the average American lives within 45 minutes of these programs. And until we have these programs in our backyards, and until they are widely accessible, we are not going to be able to reskill the 1 billion people that need to be trained for tomorrow's and today's job market. There are so many jobs that are becoming available or made available right now. Employers are having the toughest time finding talent. Recruiting and employing folks is so hard right now. Look at the case as is with Target, where there was the mass exodus from folks who were working for minimum wage and decided that's not something that they want to be a part of anymore. That's not going to build the future they want, so they walked out. One of the points that people point to is that there's a lot of help coming from the government for paycheck assistance as well as for unemployment. And people think that because folks are on unemployment making more than what they made in their minimum wage, that for that reason, it's the government's fault that people aren't going back to work. That is not the case. The real truth is that people don't want to go to crappy jobs anymore. People want good jobs. And we need institutions that are preparing folks and a short, accelerated, and efficient manner for these good jobs. And where do these good jobs exist? They exist in tech. All right. So we have an explosive field for technology jobs. In the next 5 years, Microsoft's data team predicts that there will be 159 million open technology jobs globally, or new technology jobs globally. And about 96 million of those jobs alone will be in software development. So why are there so many jobs in tech, and why is it important that we jump into these roles? It's because they offer a better quality of life. They offer the ability to work remotely. They offer a higher starting salary. As I said, our boot camps achieve double the average salary for people just starting in their career. And moreover, these companies are hoping to align the, and often do align the benefits that employees and employers want with competitive pay and competitive benefit packages. We have a lot of jobs now. We have a lot of good jobs now. And now we just don't have enough people to service them. It's up to our institutions to rapidly reskill everyone in our country to be able to service the new market or the new job market that our economy has created.
Yeah. Yeah. I love your passion about this, because I think that it's such an important point and not enough people are really focused on this problem. I talk about this all the time. I know you and I talked about this with the fourth industrial revolution, that AI and automation are going to replace so many jobs out there that people depend on. But at the same time, they're opening up 150 million new job opportunities in these high-tech spaces. And the things that people are learning in our educational institutions today are not equipping them for those new positions. So they need someone like you who's doing it and is committed to it. So I love the vision for Upright. I think you guys are in such a good spot for it. If our listeners are either in higher education or they're at a corporation and they want to employ those types of people, how do they get involved with Upright? What's the way for them to learn more about what you guys are doing?
Yeah, totally. Thanks, John. I'm very grateful for you having me on the show. So Upright Education works with colleges to help these colleges reskill America. What that means is that we help provide boot camp and accelerated programs as well as upskilling programs for high demand and high growth jobs. If you want to work with Upright Education, or if you want to bring these programs to your school, just get in touch. I'll personally handle the relationship between your school and Upright, and I will make sure that we analyze your school and your university or college to see and make sure that it's a good fit for our programs. Look, I'm not saying that Upright is perfect for every school, but I do think it's perfect for any school that wants to position themselves in the higher ed space as a forward-thinking, innovative institution that's offering skills training for a better future. If you want to get in touch or want to learn more about what that means, please visit uprighted.com and check out our website, or email me. My name is Benny, so that's B-E-N-Y. At uprighted.com. I would love to hear from you if you're a college or if you're a university thinking about adopting boot camps or thinking about offering skills training programs, because I think that our boot camps that we offer are some of the best in the country. And I think our 5 years of data shows that. And moreover, we're going to be a partner with you. So we're going to work with you no matter what your size is or how many students you're enrolling. That doesn't matter to us. What we care about is, are you passionate about helping people get jobs? And then that's the starting point for our conversation.
Yeah, I think you're such a great success story of someone who came up through Vermont education, saw some things that worked for you, Bennington College, some of the great things that you were able to garner from that, but then also some of the things you wanted to improve on, and then you really built a business, two businesses, to solve those problems. I think it's great to see. I love how you've given back to Vermont, and also now being able to scale through Upright to help institutions everywhere, and I think you're spot on that these institutions are the most convenient and practical place for people to get that upskilling and reskilling that we all know is so important. Congrats, man. I love what you're doing. I want our listeners to get connected with you and learn how they can help more people be prepared for the future. So thank you, man. Thank you for coming on the show. I wish you the best of luck with Upright and with BCA. I think it's great to see everything you're doing.
Thanks, John. Really appreciate you having me here.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here. Every week, we have a new episode that comes out each Tuesday. So wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe and leave us comments. We love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey, everyone. John Toda here. I want to thank you for tuning into the show each week. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you would take a minute to rate us and write a review for Learning Life wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great interviews on the topics you care most about.